When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
You're not going to believe what happened. I'm not sorry, but I will be remembering it for the second half of the show. Our engineer, Martin is his name, he got called into work. I'm not sure what's happening, but he is on call and he just walked in the building. Okay, so he's one of our engineers here at Odyssey for both the network as well as the seven, I think there are seven local radio stations that are on these two floors that we lease here in Lower Manhattan, which is where our headquarters are located. Martin's eyes are half asleep. So as I'm coming out of the production studio where I'm doing prep for the segment and I'm walking down the hallway, I see the engineer, Martin, walk through the newsroom. And it's really a lounge. It's supposed to be a lounge area. We've turned it into a newsroom because, you know, the sales team needs half of the floor because they want them all to work together and collaborate. Except the pandemic shut everything down. No one uses that half of the building now. So, cool. Why don't we just stay in the lounge to do our work? No problem. But I digress. So Martin walks through the lounge/newsroom. His eyes are half asleep and Martin and I are buddies. What are you doing here? Oh, I got the call at 2 a.m., which would have been 2 hours ago, our time. I don't know why it took him 2 hours to get to work. But apparently his services are needed here. So Martin and I are friends. I give him a hug. I should have known that even at 4 o'clock in the morning Eastern time, even with his eyes half closed, Martin would have his cologne on. Martin always does. He's a good Italian dude. Italian dudes, they take pride in how they smell, which I appreciate. Thank you. But now I smell like Martin. So it's not a bad thing. It's just I didn't wear the cologne, but now I smell like Martin. If you feel as though, Jay, if you feel as though you need a refreshing of your scent.
a little freshen up.
You can go hug Martin too.
Martin, come here real quick. I just got to rub up against you.
Ew. No, that's not what I did. I gave him a hug.
I mean, it's the same thing. I'm just saying.
No, it's not the same thing. Jay, that's disgusting. Giving your friend a hug is not the same thing as rubbing up against him.
All right.
Ew, don't be gross. That's vulgar. Oh, my gosh. This is a family show, number one. Number two, don't try to paint a picture of me of something that I'm not. There's no need to call HR, for heaven's sakes. We're friends. I gave him a hug. He's good to me. He always gives me the Comrex when I need it, blah, blah, blah. But that's not the same as, ew, what's wrong with you?
I didn't mean anything
no,
by it.
No, that's disgusting.
I just meant touching his body.
Okay, no. Stop talking right now. No more talking.
You're the one taking
No, you can't. Why can't you just say the word hug? That's what it was.
Hug.
Thank you.
I will go hug Martin.
Exactly. It'll be a bro hug. Don't tell me you boys don't do bro hugs because they do.
Oh, they do.
Exactly. It's not, ew. Why do I even allow Jay to be part of these conversations? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Whew. So now I smell like Martin and his cologne, which is fine. It won't be till I wake up on Tuesday afternoon that I won't smell like Martin. I'll have to change clothes. Again, it's not bad. He smells good. He's picked a notable scent. But I'm not going to be able to forget it. I'm sure you all have those people, those friends in your lives that you hug and then I mean, the alternative is that he smells like pig pen, and I smell like pig pen the rest of the show.
Some people around here.
Thankfully, I do not, because I just showered a few hours ago and would, you know, would prefer to remain clean for the duration of Tuesday. I do actually have to work out on Tuesday. It's a cardio day, so eventually, I guess I'll wash off Martin's cologne. I hope he's not. I know he's not listening. His eyes are half closed and he's busy with our New York affiliate. But yes, not a bad thing. But you always have to know about Martin and hugging Martin that the cologne will then become your cologne. So right now I smell like a man, but whatevs.
Is it the same every time?
It
that
is.
You've known him? Yeah.
It is. It is.
It's his.
And it happens
signature.
Every time too. I don't want to hear anything else that you're saying about scents or hugging or rubbing off on people. Nope. You've already proven yourself to be awkward and not capable of being part of this conversation with any kind of grace.
Okay,
so,
that's fair.
So no, it's After Hours on our Facebook page. We've got Pink Peony Power on Facebook as well as on Twitter, A-Law Radio, because everyone needs some pink peony power and perfection for your Tuesday. It's good to connect with new people who found us on social media. That happens every day. You got a half hour left to take our latest show poll. So check that out on either Twitter or Facebook. And it's, as I say, a great question. And right now you've got merely 2 percentage points separating the two possible answers. So we'll let you go and check that out yourself. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. I'm a little reticent to allow producer Jay to turn the mic on again because of how awkward he's already proven to be in this particular segment of the show. But we'll see if he can get through his evaluation, his grade, we'll call it, of what was a brand new experience for him on Saturday night. So Jay and I are both Star Wars nerds, though admittedly, Jay is more of a Star Wars nerd now than he was before he met me. So Jay and I enjoy watching Star Wars series together. We watched through group watch. First Obi-Wan, then Andor. We can't wait for Andor season 2, for those of you who know what we're talking about. They were gritty. In fact, I've told Bob, my Bob, not Sergei Bobrovsky, but I guess I could if he ever asked me for a recommendation. I've told my Bob that we need to watch both Obi-Wan and Andor. Now, get this. This is sacrilegious. Bob told me he doesn't like Rogue One. What? What?
Oh, have you guys watched it together?
No, which we will. He's agreed to watch it with me. Rogue One is in my top 3. How can he and I be so far apart on our top 3? This is how you know it's true love. We've actually gone through our list of Star Wars movies and decided our top 3. We had to guess each other's favorite. I guessed his right off the top. He did not guess mine. It took him 10 guesses and he still didn't get it.
Well, how long ago has he seen Rogue One? Like, was it when it came out? Or?
Yes. Yes, when it came out. So it's time to reset. But also I told him he would love Andor. He would love Andor. So anyway, back to Jay and I, because this is not really about Bob, though I'm going to watch them again with Bob. But watched a couple series with Jay. He's turned into a big Star Wars nerd. Now he's the one who tells me when the movies are airing on TNT or TBS, when it's Star Wars weekend. He also bought me Star Wars gifts for Christmas. So I have Star Wars socks now. We started watching The Mandalorian, but Jay is unreliable in that respect. So I might have to move on without you. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think we've had a night to be able to watch it in the last how many months?
Two plus months because of the damn hoops and hockey. I mean, seriously, can we catch a break, please? Can you give us one night without hoops and hockey, please?
Just trying to watch the Mando.
We're just trying to not watch hoops and hockey. So, see, how could Dante fall asleep to this soothing, quote-unquote, voice? I don't know how that's possible. Anyway, all that to say, Jay and I love Star Wars, and so I decided that he needed to experience Star Wars with the live symphony orchestra playing the score. John Williams, of course, who is my favorite composer, and while he was not conducting himself, the New Jersey Symphony Orchestra played the live score for Empire Strikes Back while the movie was airing on a big screen. Now, I could tell you my reaction, but you need to hear Jay's because it was his first time going. So what'd you think, Jay?
I will give it instantly a 10 out of 10. Honestly, even an 11 out of 10. It was from that first note, which you were telling me the whole time was like going to be like the greatest part. It was in that first note finally, like, oh, initially yeah. hits. And yes. it was just a tremendous
I
crescendo.
I might have smacked Jay.
Like, a couple times. Yes. And I think at one point you were like, don't worry, I won't hit you the whole show.
But no, I tried not to.
It was like, so exciting, though. It was incredible. I did notice, though, throughout the whole time, I was watching the movie and I kept watching the orchestra, watching the movie, mm-hmm. watching the orchestra, watching the movie. I wasn't really sure which one to focus on at certain times. So, I mean, they all kept going. I was trying to see. I'd hear all these off notes, and I'd try to see who was playing it and try to pinpoint, like, the section leaders. Mm-hmm. It was really cool. It was tremendous.
Mm. It brings the music and the emotion of the music, the power and the flow of the music to life in a way that you don't get when you're just watching the movie with the music blended in the background. And I would say there were a couple of times. Now, they did use subtitles on the screen, or I guess closed captioning. Sorry, not subtitles.
Yeah.
They used closed captioning so you could see the dialogue. However, I've got Empire Strikes Back memorized, so I don't need the dialogue. However, I just said however twice in the span of 20 seconds, which rarely happens. There were moments where the orchestra, if you didn't know the dialogue, had drowned out the dialogue yeah. a little bit. So they were louder than when I saw Return of the Jedi in early 2020. But still, the music is really the focus as much as the movie is phenomenal. And here's what else is really neat about seeing any one of these movies. I saw Jaws last October. Jurassic Park is this October. They're playing Batman next March, which is pretty cool too. And that goes, I think we're talking about the Batman that goes back to Michael Keaton and Kim Basinger. So that would have been in the 90s maybe. Anyway, the difference is that you're watching it with presumed fans. So Star Wars nerds, Star Wars faithful like us, which means they clap, they cheer. We get all excited in the big moments. And so when Princess Leia says, I love you, and Han says, I know, the entire auditorium starts cheering.
Yeah, that was cool.
Or when Luke Skywalker, I don't know, when he went into the cave, right? In The Empire Strikes Back, he goes into the cave and he kind of encounters Darth Vader, but he cuts off his head and it's actually Luke's face. There's a, even though everybody in there knows what's happening, right? The big moments, the moments where there's big fights or there's these triumphant moments with, like on the planet Hoth, blah, 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 whatever.
The introductions, like when Lando came on screen
yes,
for the first time.
That's a good point. When Lando appears on screen for the first time, or R2-D2 and C-3PO were on screen for the first time, everyone starts cheering. It was an experience that was captivating in that way too, because people are reacting to the movie as well as reacting to the music. And again, the music is amazing. John Williams wrote the Imperial March first for Empire Strikes Back. It did not appear in Star Wars: A New Hope. Only in Empire Strikes Back is where it really was the claim to fame. And it's got to be one of the most famous pieces of music in film history. Anyway, so it was a lot of fun. People were dressed up. Well, some people were looking like bums. Other people were dressed up. But the auditorium was full. And it was pretty incredible to hear the music, again, played live on the stage in front of us. It comes to life in a completely different way. So we enjoyed it. We had, what were our snacks? Popcorn, which you could see in the photo that we put on Twitter and Facebook.
Pretzel.
Right,
a hot pretzel.
Hot pretzel with covered with salt, which was really tasty. And it was actually hot.
Yeah.
As we're carrying it into the auditorium, Jay's like, ow, hot. we had
the most extreme Airheads I've ever eaten in my entire life. Sour Patch Kids
Sour Patch Kids.
In my entire life.
Yeah, they did warn us on the box that they were more sweet and sour. They were enhanced sweet and sour.
I don't know about the sweet, but.
So we had a bunch of snacks. It was also taco night. So we had taco night before we got to the auditorium. We saw a colleague who was there with a big group of friends standing in the t-shirt line because it doesn't matter what the cost. Our colleague, who may be as big a Star Wars nerd as we are, has to have a t-shirt from every single one of these concerts. So yeah, it was super cool. It was a lot of fun to experience with Jay, even though I did smack him a couple times, like, oh my gosh, because I get so excited. I didn't cry during this one. I cried during Return of the Jedi because I always cry during Return of the Jedi. And I dare say that when I go to A New Hope, I'm actually going to A New Hope in Houston. Bob got us tickets. What about that? So it's the Houston Symphony Orchestra coming up in July when I'm visiting Houston, because who doesn't want to visit Houston in July? So we're going to stay indoors.
Yeah, at least that's indoors.
Right, indoors and see the concert. I dare say that I will cry because it's so moving. But in Empire Strikes Back, other than when Leia is brokenhearted over Han being frozen in carbonite, otherwise, there are not a lot of moments that would make you cry necessarily. I actually saw this. I don't know, again, for Star Wars nerds who are out there, this would be something that you would know. But there have been multiple threads out on social media or on the internet because the original trilogy is celebrating anniversaries, right? So you've got the various anniversaries coming up for all of these movies. And there was this one thread that I saw on the internet, I think it was Twitter, over the weekend, in which it was celebrating the anniversary of Empire Strikes Back. But it was also kind of sharing this intel and behind the scenes type of information that you would never know. So it was released 43 years ago this week, The Empire Strikes Back. And this is something I found out. The reason Han/Harrison Ford was frozen in carbonite is because he actually did not want to do another one of these movies. And they froze him in carbonite just in case he wasn't going to appear in Return of the Jedi. I never knew that.
Wow.
I never knew that.
I can believe it, but that's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you check it out, if you go to, it's called All the Right Movies, and it's a very popular Twitter account on classic and hit films. Maybe I'll retweet it. And it's a thread about The Empire Strikes Back. Oh, it's only been seen 17.2 million times, liked 77,000 times. And it's not only got behind-the-scenes photos, but it's got all this really cool information about The Empire Strikes Back. And again, it says, Harrison Ford wanted Han Solo to be killed off at the end of Empire, as he wasn't keen on playing him again. It was for this reason that Lucas had Han frozen in carbonite in the film, as it gave them the option of bringing Han back or not for Return of the Jedi. Could you imagine Return of the Jedi with no Han Solo?
No, I couldn't.
I can't either. That's crazy.
I know he doesn't love the character, though. Even to this day, he refuses to go to Star Wars events. He refuses to really even answer questions on Star Wars
right,
at all.
Except that he did participate in the new trilogy. He didn't have to.
Yeah.
Well, it's because he made $20 million, reportedly. Mm, so helps. I suppose for a bunch of quick work, he didn't have a ton. Like, he wasn't on screen the entire movie.
And they killed him, so he's done after that.
Yeah, but he came back in The Last Skywalker. Or The Rise of Skywalker, sorry. It was Ep 9. He came back in that one.
See, that one I'm not as privy on.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. So this is kind of crazy too. Apparently Harrison Ford ad-libbed some lines. When he's frozen, you know the exchange. We just saw it on Saturday night where Leia says, I love you. And Han replies, I know. That wasn't in the script, which I knew. I knew Harrison Ford had ad-libbed that. But do you know what the script said? Would you like to know what the script said?
Yeah, because I didn't know that was ad-libbed.
The script, you didn't know that?
No.
Yeah, that's classic. It's. I've heard that many times before, that Harrison Ford came up with that on his own. It was not in the script, but they liked it so much that they left it in there, of course.
Brilliant.
Right, so the script originally read this. Leia's I love you was to be followed by Han saying, just remember that, Leia, because I'll be back. Could you imagine that being the response and not I know?
No.
I can't either.
It's pretty Terminator.
There's no way. There's absolutely no way that I could even.
I hate it.
Yeah, I hate it too. That I could even appreciate it any other way. It's so Han Solo that he says, I know.
just one of those things that was just meant to be.
He ad-libbed it.
Yeah.
The brilliance of Harrison Ford. And then he didn't want to be in Return of the Jedi. But too bad, so sad.
I hate that new line, that original line. That's horrible. Mm.
I'm glad they didn't take it out. A Star Is Born.
Although I would like to see a like an outtake of him actually, of him saying that
I guess
line
he didn't.
In the script.
I guess he never did. Yeah. No, he never did. He said, I know. And they liked it so much that they never took it out. I'm not sure I'm glad I know that Harrison Ford didn't want to do Return of the Jedi. But man, I'm really happy that he was in it because I can't imagine without his role. Well, on that note, Jay and I had fun. I know some of you have indicated that you've also seen, whether it's Star Wars movies or other movies, with the live score for your various symphonies that you have in your areas. I highly recommend it, Star Wars or otherwise, because, again, it brings the score to life and it brings the emotion of the movie to life in a way that you wouldn't ever expect. And so thanks for all your replies to the photo. We did put it up on Twitter, A-Law Radio, as well as on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. This tweet, that's awesome. Best music of the entire Star Wars saga. So that was one reaction. There was one more, too, that I wanted to read to you. Oh, okay. Danny on Twitter. I saw Return of the Jedi a couple of Saturdays ago. Had a great time. Highly recommend to anyone thinking of going. Yeah, I saw Jaws that way last October, Halloween weekend. I'd never seen Jaws before. I know. Never seen Jaws before, but I saw it last fall and didn't know anything about it. And so was able to appreciate the movie while hearing the music. You want to talk about iconic music. Dun-dun, 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 dun-dun. I mean, the crowd just went crazy when the first time we heard that music. So, yeah, pretty awesome. Jay ruins everything. So you can find the photo on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence and Freddie Freeman's Return to Atlanta coming up here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours.
The Health One healthcare system is proud to have been named one of the top places to work for women in the nation by Newsweek. Health One is the only healthcare provider in Colorado and one of only six organizations in the state to be recognized with this award. Thank you to all our colleagues, physicians, and volunteers for making Health One a great place to give and receive care. Learn more about our services, physicians, and locations by visiting healthonecares.com. That's healthonecares.com.
Ah, hammock. Check. Arnold Palmer. Check. Motorized solar shades. Yes, please. Get your home and patio spring ready with brand new custom window coverings from Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the easiest way to upgrade your home with custom window treatments. You can even stay in the hammock while Blinds.com handles the install. Just click installation at checkout and relax while we do the work for you. No matter how many window treatments you order, installation is always one low cost. Need help choosing? Talk to a Blinds.com design expert for free to help you make the best selection from classic shutters to outdoor roller shades and more. With over 25 million windows covered, you can rest easy with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. See why Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings with over 40,000 five-star reviews. Shop Blinds.com and save 40% off selected products. 40% off selected products at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Attention listeners.
I'm pleased to announce that Radio Rental is returning for another installment of Terrifying Tales. If you happen to be new here, I'm Terry Carnation, current proprietor of the Radio Rental Video Store, where I possess a collection of the scariest true stories you've ever heard, all told by real people. Mark your calendars for... Oh, apparently it's available right now. I'm a little late with this promo.
Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Podcast. That'll bring Freddie Freeman up to the plate. And let's see what kind of reaction he gets. Steps steps outside the box, gives a wave to the fans. And for the most part, a standing ovation for Freddie, and now everybody's starting to stand for the former Brave, Freddie Freeman.
I'm a little surprised. I didn't think it would be this demonstrative with the helmet off and waving to everyone, quite honestly.
That means a lot. You know, I think they understand that I left everything out here on this field every single night, and I appreciate them. I really do. None of this is that possible without fans in the stands. It's a joy. It's a joy to come back here, and for them to show appreciation for all the years I spent here, it means a lot.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Freddie Freeman acknowledged the crowd. I happen to see this moment as he was introduced in his first plate appearance in Atlanta as a member of the Dodgers. You hear the call there on the Braves radio network. And promptly, the Braves posted a 4-0 lead in the first inning against the Dodgers. This in a battle of the top two teams in the National League. Surprising for the Dodgers because they didn't make a ton of moves in the offseason. They were expected to be run-of-the-mill, middle of the road, probably cough up their NL West title. But even after they fall into a 4-run hole, they got a little something to say moving forward.
And two on, nobody out. And the pitch from Charlie Morton. Swung on and lifted high to right field and deep. This ball's way back and it is gone. A home run, a 3-run home run for Freeman. And the Dodgers take the lead, 6-4. Freddie Freeman in his return to Atlanta hits career home run number 301. And it flips the lead on the hometown Braves.
I felt a little weird at my first at-bat. My dad was here. He wasn't here last year, so I was trying to do really good for him. But once I got the first one over with, I was able to just stay on it and just try and attack and not take too many strikes. I took two strikes my first at-bat, so I tried to flip the script and be aggressive.
He was that, and he was part of a 12-hit outburst by the Dodgers as they were able to storm back and take the lead, not just that, but win this game. So the Dodgers become the first to 30 wins in the National League, even though the rookie pitcher, Gavin Stone, allowed 5 runs on 5 hits and 5 walks. And so just his second start for L.A. as they're trying to fill the gaps here left by Urias and others who have kind of vacated that starting rotation. Clayton Kershaw's mom passed away, so he was away from the team. But the Freddie Freeman aspect of this, he notes his family with him in the stands or with him there and cheering for him in the stands. Just the fact that they still appreciate what he did as they were able to, I think, capitalize on his MVP season, right? And the way that the Braves desperately wanted to keep him, even through the lockout, when there was all that tension because the negotiations couldn't go on. The flap that was reported between Freeman and his agents, which turned out not to be true, but there was a lot that was made of it then. He picked L.A. because that's where his dad and his grandfather, I think he said his dad and his grandfather, but he wanted them to be able to see him play. And he's found a home in Los Angeles. But for the Braves, right, for Freddie Freeman, it was a prosperous relationship. I mean, there's nothing negative to be said about it, as much as it's hard for us as sports fans because we are loyal. So we want our favorite athletes to be loyal. I understand that, but it's still a business for them. It's their livelihood. They can only capitalize for so many years on their skills, their talents, their abilities. And Freeman was part of a World Series there. He was an MVP. He was a Gold Glove. He was a Silver Slugger. He was an All-Star multiple times. He gave them the best of what he had to give, as he says on Sportsnet LA. And to be able to change jobs, to get a free agent contract, those are all results. Those are all perks of the effort, the heart, the soul, the blood, sweat, and tears that he gave to the Braves. He earned the right to be courted by multiple teams. So I don't begrudge athletes when they leave, when they go somewhere else, because their career window is limited And while I get it, one huge free agent contract is generational money. It's monopoly money to most of us. It's not as though the baseball owners aren't making money hand over fist as well. I'd rather have the players get a larger piece of the pie. But in Freeman's case, he's a class act. He didn't hold back with the Braves. There was no acrimony at his exit, even if there were some hurt feelings. And the Braves are still one of the best teams in the National League. So I'm glad they appreciate Freeman. I'm glad they shower him with adoration when he returns, even though
that is awesome to hear.
The Braves Radio Network team, they were a little surprised by it. Real quick, one more before we get to our update. Hey, you know how the Houston Astros have not been so good through the first quarter of the season? That may be changing.
1-0. And Alvarez punishes one deep to right center field. And you can kiss that one goodbye. 11th home run of the year for Alvarez off the facing of the second deck. And the Astros lead is 5-1. First pitch, and Alvarez pokes this one pretty deep to left center field. Going back on it now, Yelich at the wall looking up. Grand slam for Yordan Alvarez. His second home run of the game. And the Astros have broken this one open. It is 10-1.
Big fella, he can just hit. He can really hit. So he's one of the best hitters in this game and one of the best that I've seen.
Dusty Baker touting Yordan Alvarez. We know what he can do. The Astros, the defending World Series champions. And to this point, they've been languishing in the middle of the AL West, but that is changing. They found their stride. I don't know if there was a World Series hangover. I don't tend to believe in that, though I would say sometimes you don't have the same drive and sense of urgency when you're coming off a championship. But they've won 8 consecutive games, including pounding the Brewers on Monday, a season-high 12 runs. So they must just be rounding into form.
Immaculate.
The call there on the Astros radio network. Yeah, if you were expecting the Astros to stand pat and not flex their muscles on offense, well, think again.
We were due for one of those. And, we had a big, offensive output. Hit some balls out of the ballpark, which we hadn't been doing much.
They got some big names at the top of the lineup that we've seen on TV from a lot of playoff action. It's a good lineup. They're a good team. We didn't make enough pitches tonight.
Craig Counsell of the Milwaukee Brewers. So yeah, the Astros, they've won 8 straight. They are closing in on the lead in the AL West, though there is a long, long, long way to go. I just love the different storylines with the various teams that were supposed to start out hot and didn't. Maybe teams that are now finding their footing, because over the course of a 162-game season, anything can and will happen. So love to hear from you on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
We'll make the most of our time together, aight?
Pleasure to speak with you. I always have a great time.
Huge fan. So glad to have a female voice on sports radio.
I love you. I love listening to your show.
Girl makes the rules around here.
You are absolutely right, Amy.
I listen to you every morning on my way to work, and I appreciate, as do millions of others, that you report like you do.
Love it when chicks call the show. Boom!
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Amy's taking your calls at 855-212-4CBS.
I know you're not talking about Kevin Love, but Kevin Love is closing in on another NBA Finals appearance with the Miami Heat. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So glad to hear from you on Twitter, A-Law Radio, as well as on our Facebook page. We've got more to come next hour. Back to hoops, not just the Nuggets reaching their first NBA Finals in franchise history, eliminating the Lakers, and LeBron's, I would say, emotional, probably exhausted comments about his future in which he's considering what to do next, but also Carmelo Anthony retiring. Remember, he has played for, or he did play for, six teams over his nearly 20 years in the league. One of them was the Denver Nuggets, but they never got to an NBA Finals. So an opportunity for Nuggets fans to relish in this now. We do have some football. I'm not sure if we're going to get to it, but all the Carolina Panthers quarterbacks speaking on their first day of OTA. So the NFL is now going through its OTA slash practices. And while not everybody is participating, for instance, Lamar Jackson, he's not participating with the Ravens, though he is expected to be in the facility soon. It's yet one more spring opportunity for fans to see and hear, media to track down their favorite football players. And it's nonstop. It's nonstop. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So yes, hoops coming up at the top of the hour. We'll see if we can get to a little bit of the football, but if not, we'll save it for the hump show. The story that captivated sports fans, young and old, tall and short, new and diehard, over the weekend at the PGA Championship was that of Michael Block. And he was making the media rounds on Monday, as you can imagine, including CBS This Morning. If you didn't hear his story, he is a club pro, qualified for the PGA Championship, and then ended up playing on the weekend with Rory McIlroy. And the stage wasn't too big for him. And by finishing in the top 15, he's already qualified for next year's PGA at Valhalla. But the incredible moment, the once-in-a-lifetime unforgettable moment that is all over social and that fans were talking about all day Monday, his hole-in-one on the fly going back to the 15th. Again, he's paired with Rory. He doesn't even realize that it's gone in. He can't see it from where he is. Rory comes over to give him a hug. You can hear him on the play-by-play with Jim Nantz from CBS, where he's asking, did that go in? Did that go in?
At the 15th. The fairy tale story. Gets better. A hole in one for Michael Black.
The 7-iron flight, it is a pretty good wind into us. I was paired with Rory McIlroy, you know, one of my idols. And I was doing okay. I just, you know, I was too over at that point. I was trying to get back to even par. I hit the 7. I couldn't see it go in the hole. And all of a sudden, Rory's walking away, and he turns around, and he has his arms open, and he's going to give me a big hug. And I'm like, I couldn't figure out why he's giving me a hug if I just hit it close. I didn't think it went in the hole, but the crowd was going, you know, nuts.
The crowd was. In fact, the crowd remained nuts, as Michael Block tells CBS This Morning, the entire time that he was walking the par three until he gets up to the cup, pulls his ball out of the hole. He's very emotional. He's kind of tapping his chest to say thank you. But yeah, nearly overcome. It looked like he was in tears. So that was the 15th. By the time he gets to the 18th, he has to get an up and down to finish among the top 15. I know that's a lot of numbers, sorry. But on the 18th hole, he has to get it up and down. He drops a punt. Oh, my gosh. Okay. I do love telling stories, but I hate it when I sound like an idiot. He drops the putt from, I would say, Yeah, 15, 20 yards away. It wasn't a super long putt, but it was one that required some concentration. It was one that he desperately wanted. So as it drops through and the gallery on the 18th goes crazy again, he bends over, hands on his knees, and just kind of overwhelmed by that moment. The atmosphere was one that he'll never forget. And he says that he has spent time visualizing what it would be like to be part of a scene kind of like that one.
I always saw myself coming down the stretch with Tiger Woods. And I was like, I'm going to do it. Even if I'm 45 or whatever it is, I'm going to come down the stretch in an event with Tiger. It just happened to be that I was in the 2023 PGA Championship at Oak Hill, and I had Rory McIlroy in my group. And I wasn't coming down the stretch to win, but at the same time, Sunday at a major with the crowd here at Rochester was unreal.
I love that for him. You guys know that I dig stories. I dig the athletes and the moments that come out of nowhere that we never saw coming. Those are the ones that produce, I think, the great joy. They're so captivating because of the all access we get all the time. The insiders, the analysts, the announcers, we dissect every moment in sports a bazillion ways to Sunday. But this is a moment that regardless of how much time you prep, how well you know the game, how well versed you are in who could win, what, when, who, why, where, no matter how much you know, no matter how much you've watched, you've listened, you've read, you've followed, this is straight out of a movie script because it defies logic. Sports are based on human beings who sometimes take an opportunity and turn it into an unforgettable theater, right? Turn it into unforgettable drama. This is why I tell you that analytics can only be a tool, because formulas, mathematical formulas, they only measure the numbers that we have in front of us. They're based on historical data. But what if it's something that's never happened before? And also, those analytics, those formulas don't measure human heart or desire or the ability to perform like they never have with the world watching. Life-changing for Michael Block, and a moment that we will never forget as fans.
Never thought it would happen to me, to be honest. You know, like you said, I'm just a club professional from a public golf course in Orange County, California, and all of a sudden, within a couple rounds of 70s here at Oak Hill, my life's changed quite a bit, and I'm sitting here with you this morning. So yeah, it's very surreal right now, and I'm trying to enjoy it as much as possible.
I never thought it would be happen, to be honest. It would happen, to be honest. Michael Block on CBS this morning, following his emotional and electric final round at Oak Hill in Rochester. How many people now will say, I was there when? Not when Brooks Koepka won his fifth major, which is a big deal. And there's no taking away what he accomplished or the fact that it was a LIV golfer who won a major for the first time. And really his redemption too, after 2 years away with injuries. But even Brooks Koepka was standing on a tee box listening to the roars from Michael Block on Sunday after he holed out at the 15th. This is why I love sports. Every day, every night, it's something new. But also, we get these moments that we never saw coming. It keeps it fresh here on After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.